Hey friends, I'm Naomi, and I'm glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives bring their ideas to life. I believe we each have our own brilliance to share with the world, and when we lean into that, we have opportunities to live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of A Creative Purpose. And today I have Jessica with us. Excited for this conversation. Just to see how she, as an artist, uses her body more in the work that she does. And as a former physical education teacher, I think this is going to be a really good conversation. So welcome, Jessica.
Thank you. Yes, I'm excited. I didn't know about your PE background. That's awesome.
Yeah, many years. So yeah, cool. Can you just introduce yourself and tell us where you're at?
Yeah, I'm Jessica Rahm Foster. I'm currently in San Francisco, California. And I am a neuroperformance coach. So it's the term I gave myself for a field that is just starting to emerge. But basically, I help people get out of pain and improve performance by teaching them how to play with their brains.
Whoa. Cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah. So what is that? Can you share a little bit more of what that actually looks like in practice?
Yeah. So basically, I use practical tools and techniques that have been taken from cutting edge neuroscience to help people really understand and then uncover and ultimately overcome obstacles in their nervous system itself that can be blocking them from achieving their health or performance goals. I'm a Z Health Master Practitioner, which means nothing to most people, but Z Health is the education corporation I got trained in. Dr. Eric Cobb is the founder of that, and his genius is in exactly that, taking like cutting edge neuroscience as it's coming out and making it extremely practical, as opposed to, you know, what usually that research gets used for extreme cases and maybe eventually elite performers. But he's created this humongous toolbox of amazing tools that normal everyday people who, you know, can use for their own well-being. So it's always changing and really, really fun.
Yeah, sounds like it, especially now that we are hearing more about, you know, the mind-body connection and different mm-hmm. things like that are coming out. So like, how did you get into this?
Yeah, good question. I'm a performer, so a musical theater and film performer. And I had gotten certified in Pilates as a way to stop waiting tables and loved it. I mean, it was great, and it did sort of help me backing up a little bit. Like my 20s and 30s were pretty rough physically, emotionally, somewhere in between. I couldn't really have described what was happening. It just felt like, well, the best I could describe it as was like a black hole that just kind of would like suck all my energy and life juice. And like, it just kind of felt like I was moving through life with like a lead vest on. But in that, it manifested for me in a couple of ways. One was a pretty severe eating disorder, like compulsive overeating. And then I would go run 18 miles to try and fix that. And then also as a performer, what was starting to happen and get worse was actually pretty intense performance anxiety, especially in auditions. And so that was starting to become fairly debilitating. And I mean, I had trained with amazing coaches and I had done everything. I mean, I had seen every doctor that I could find, naturopaths. I had, you know, had every test under the sun. I'd worked with holistic healers. I had, you know, rebirthed myself and meditated every day for years. You know, like I'd done everything that I could find, and all of those tools were super useful, and I'm glad I pursued them, but they never solved the problem. And you know, it was becoming more and more painful. The way I kind of feel it, I describe it as like the separation of what I knew I was capable of and what I was actually bringing to the table, it felt like I was getting further and further apart, as opposed to, you would think with my skills getting more and more developed that it would be getting better and better. And my skills were developing. So in certain instances, you know, I used to say I'd give Broadway caliber performances in my shower and then walk into an audition. It's like I never had a lesson before. So it was just super frustrating and extremely painful emotionally. And I didn't know. So the Pilates, getting back to that, like kind of got me in my body more. I always felt great when I did it, but it didn't solve anything. Like it would, I like to say, like, I got really strong lying on my back. I would stand up and I'd be like, wait, why is this not converting? Like, I'm still falling over in dance class. What's going on? So anyway, I moved to New York in 2012 and just was giving everything I had to my dream and just kind of going to push through it all. And in my mind, honestly, New York for me was, I wanted to just keep auditioning and auditioning. And I felt like if I just did it more, it would get easier. Like I would just, the audition wouldn't be as important. I'd care less. And it just really wasn't what was happening. Like it was actually getting worse. About 4 months into being there, I remember this day so clearly. It's like really visceral for me. Like my voice teacher there, Andrew Byrne, who is, well, side note, single-handedly changing the vocal industry with this information right now. It's really exciting to watch. But he had another student who was teaching this Z Health for Singers workshop. And I was like, I had been using Pilates with singers and was interested in what she was doing. And I'd never heard of Z Health. And I remember lying on my couch. We lived in Brooklyn at the time. And the class was in Harlem, so it was a 45-minute train ride if you're lucky, and it was raining, and I had the lead vest in a major way that day, and I just was lying on the couch going, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't actually know if I can get there, if it's going to be worth it. You know, it just felt like such an uphill climb, and I decided to go anyway, and I went, and in that 45-minute free session, my life changed, and I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't quite realize it at the time. She had us do weird drills with our eyes, like move our eyes in strange ways. And then, you know, I think we did some bouncing. I don't even remember specifically what we did. I think I played with a ball. I'm not sure. All I know is we were singing in public and I felt fairly at ease with like strangers listening, not singers, other singers listening to me sing. That was terrifying, but I was okay. I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I actually felt pretty good riding the train back home. And the next day there was an audition for a national tour. So it was a big stakes audition. And I went in singing a difficult song. Like it was nothing. Like belted my high Fs. They liked it. They asked for a legit piece, which always terrified me. But I opened up my binder and I sang that thing like, you know, like I could in the shower. And it's like, wait a second, what's going on? How do I get more of this? And I had no money at this point in time, but I hired that coach. I was just like, I don't know what you're doing, but I need this. And it became pretty clear pretty fast that there was something going on with my eyes and something going on with my inner ear and my vestibular system. And unfortunately, it wasn't really sticking at first. Like I would get the benefits, but like we did one drill like for 5 seconds and I had to go to bed. Like I was just toast. And she realized that I was in this financial situation and she said, you know what? I think you need to get certified. She's like, I think you just need to go directly there and go through the training and it'll be more cost efficient for you than coming through me. And that was such a gift. But I went to the first class and the teacher at the time, they stuck a picture of the extraocular muscles on the wall. So all the muscles that actually move your eyes around. And I had a panic attack. Like I'm sitting in the class freaking out and I have no idea why. Like I was a biology major. It's not queasiness. Like I've seen these things, but like I talked to him like, I don't know what's going on with me. And he said, do you trust me that I do? And I was like, okay, well, I don't have any other choice. And I did a session with him afterwards and he actually played with this scar that's over my eye here. I got hit in the head with a hockey stick when I was 13. Had stitches, never thought anything about it. But I used to be able to ride backwards in the Volvo. This was in the 90s, you know, when you would ride backwards, facing backwards. And we lived in England at the time, so like windy roads. And I could read a book and I'd be fine. And by the time I graduated from college, if I wasn't sitting in the front seat and looking out the window, I was toast. So something had happened. And again, like, I mean, we're complex creatures. I mean, there were hormones. There was a lot going on in that time. But when he played with that scar, my whole face just started twitching. And like, it was like an electric show going on in my face. And he just kind of played with it for like, I don't know, 4 minutes. And I stood up and I felt different. And I was like, wait, what? And like, he actually knew I was a singer and he had me sing. And I was just like, oh, whoa. So this is what it's like to have access to my entire instrument. How interesting. And my whole being, you know, like felt in line with it. And at that point, I was like, I need to learn more. What is this? And so I did. I actually jumped into the curriculum and went through it all. And you know, we are complicated creatures. I needed the whole curriculum to sort of address everything that was going on. I think I went to every class like 4 or 5 times. It was a lot of trips to Phoenix, Arizona, where they were teaching at the time. But I did become a master trainer, and I actually had the gift of getting to go through the program with Andrew Byrne. He jumped in at the same time I did. And so, you know, with his genius of knowledge around the vocal instrument, we were able to apply everything to singing as we were going through the classes. It was amazing being in New York and suddenly getting to go to these auditions and being like, oh, that was good. More of that, please. But the irony, of course, is like, now I have this job. I was training people at the Jewish Community Center. I was making money. Like, it kind of raised the stakes a little bit. And I stopped doing commercial auditions. I was like, nah, you want me to like miss a client for the chance of making $800? Nope, I don't think so. You know, I don't like commercial work that much. But and the theater auditions, I mean, it became clear to me that like, it's not... There is a system in place to get to the top, and my going to these auditions was probably not going to get me there, whether I went in and nailed them at all. You know, there's always the chance, so you go in for the chance, but it became just an opportunity for me to go in and practice this and see where I was at, and it was really getting fun. And then I got pregnant and I left New York. But before I left, I ended up teaching a workshop that I called the Neurology of Presence. And I brought in my actor friends, some of whom were, you know, Broadway performers. And I just wanted to see, like, I knew what it had done for my craft, but I couldn't, you know, I couldn't be sure if it was just me with my nervous system and my things. But so I had them use monologues as assessments. And then I would do whatever, you know, I kind of would watch them and kind of sense where I could feel energetically a little off. And I also had them fill out like a health history form, so I had some background. And so I could tailor the drill I was going to give them. And 100% of them improved in what I call the vibrancy factor at this point. So like, yeah, how much of my wattage can I actually bring to the work? I had this one woman in particular. I'd been in a scene study class with her for years, and she played Christine in Phantom, you know, back in the 90s, and just brilliant, brilliant actress. But something had always felt a little off, and like she hadn't been booking stuff necessarily, not at that level, for a while. And I was like, that's so interesting. What is this? And when I got her health history form and saw what had been going on for her, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And gave her some drills, and like her second take of the monologue, the first one was breathtaking to be sure, but the second one, when she was like that much more empowered in her nervous system, was like, I mean, jaw-dropping. I don't know if it was that course or not, but she did book like 3 Broadway shows. Yeah, that's right. Take full credit. But yeah, so it's been really exciting. So I do work with performers, and then my other clients are people like me who fell through the cracks in the medical system, where there's problems, something's clearly wrong, they can't tell you what it is, or maybe they give you a diagnosis but nothing to do with it. And so, like, you know, unless there's a medication or a surgery for you, you know, you're sort of left to sort of fend for yourself. And yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it sounds like it's not this huge invasive thing. Like, from what I hear, it's like these just little tools, little exercises that you can do to make these shifts.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's definitely non-invasive, maybe with one exception of like electric stim sometimes can be a really useful input. But basically, yeah, it's kind of looking at the body, and I think the whole being, through the lens of the nervous system. And Dr. Cobb actually has a statement, a quote, it's my favorite quote, and I won't do it justice because it's long and I can't remember all the words, but basically that everything we are is brain derived. Like every experience we've ever had. And that was profound for me because I come from a long past of like spiritual seeking and all of these things. And I'm an Aquarian and I think of myself as, you know, just way out there. And it was like, right. And you're a human, like having a physical experience, and all of that, all of those out there experiences I've had came through my brain. And that was illuminating for me when I kind of realized that. But yeah, so essentially it's looking at us through the lens of the nervous system. And then there's two ways I think about it. One is the information I wish everybody, you know, once you kind of understand that, then you can kind of look at lifestyle and go, right, I've spent my entire day forward facing and seated, you know, does it make sense to go to the gym and do more forward facing, you know, flexion based work while I, you know, continue to stare at a screen? Probably not. Can I actually rotate? Can I move in different planes? Can I, you know, play is a big part of what I bring to this, because to me, if you're playing, if you're physically interacting with the world around you, half of the issues that I think most of us have would just go away.
Right.
Certainly from the lack of use side of things. But then the other side of the work is specifically tailoring different neural inputs for the nervous system that's in front of us. So what I may need may be completely different than what you may need. And it's pretty, it can get really weird, but really, really powerful. So, I mean, yes, I do a lot of vision training, but for some people moving your eyeballs, like for me, it was too taxing. Like it was actually not a safe place for me to start, or I should say it was just costing too much. But if I put green lenses on, then I could do the drills and I was okay. Or if I put a heating pack on my stomach, which there's a neural connection between that and your vestibular system and your vision system, like I could do those drills and it would have a positive effect rather than tanking me. So you can start to stack these different inputs and target specific parts of the brain using all kinds of different things. And it's really fun, but ultimately the goal is to get you to move better, because the better you move, the better your brain functions. And then vice versa, the better your brain functions, the better you move, better you think, you know, better you feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Cause I do feel like we don't spend as much time on that. Like we know it, right? It's like, yeah, we know our brain is an important thing to take care of, but then are we treating it like other, like the rest of our body, I guess, as far as exercise or nutrition, or, you know, like, are we making that connection?
Totally.
And I don't know if we are fully. I know I'm not.
I know before this for me, when I thought about like the brain body connection, it was like mindfulness, right? It was like, what are the right thoughts I'm thinking about? And this work is really getting below thought and like really working underneath the hood of the car. Mm-hmm. So your frontal cortex is where all of your thoughts and things happen. It's where consciousness occurs. But like the rest of the brain is functioning to support that or to feed that. And if there's something going on in your brainstem or your cerebellum or any of the lobes in the rest of the cortex, like your frontal cortex is going to struggle. And it may struggle to make sense of something it can't make sense of, which was certainly my case. There was some stuff going on under the hood, and my brain did the best it could. My conscious brain did the best it could to figure it out, and it couldn't. It wasn't its realm.
Yeah. So what does that look like on a daily practice then? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sometimes we go to therapy and that's like once a week maybe, and we're thinking about it between, you know, appointments.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But what does that look like on a daily practice? Is it like getting up and doing certain things to then have a better day?
I have two answers to that question. And I kind of, again, think about this work in sort of two ways, general, like general wellness and optimal health, and then problem solving, whether that's to get you out of pain or to improve some specific skill. So there's sort of a gross explanation for all humans, and then there's the specifics. And I actually think I'm going to start with the specifics. When I'm working with clients, or if for myself at this point, you know, basically, we go through like a full assessment of all of your receptors and figure out what's working subpar and kind of start with those and clean those up. And what we're looking for, so there's, when I'm working with any of these things, like I said, I did those vision drills and it was tanking me. Like, we don't want to be tanking you. The whole point of this is to help you feel better. So we'll test everything. And we find something to assess. So if I'm working with singers, obviously we can use singing. If I'm working with a non-performing athlete, we might use range of motion or balance. I mean, you can literally use anything because the nervous system is all connected and all one. If I make a change somewhere in the nervous system, it's going to impact everything. And that's profound to me. That wasn't something I quite realized. I could have intuitively said that, but this is like crystal clear, black and white, scientific awesomeness. So basically, yeah, we assess something, then we do a drill, and then we reassess it. And one of three things can happen. One, it's what we call a high payoff drill. So you assess better, whatever we tested before gets better, which means this was a challenge your brain liked. It was information that your brain liked. You should do this a lot. Like, this is something that, like, yeah, the eye drill that she gave me in that first singing class, I did that before I went into the audition, and it made me awesome. So yeah. Before I go do something where I need all of me involved, I'm going to use that. And yeah, I'm going to probably do that throughout the day to just kind of make sure I'm humming along at the best speed I can. If it's neutral, then it means it's just boring. It's probably just something your brain does all the time and doesn't care that much. And if it's negative, then it means that was too threatening. In the case of something like a vision drill, we don't want to leave it like that. Like, we do want to actually rehabilitate this because, you know, in my case, like, it was looking left for 5 seconds would break me. I need to be able to look left in my life without it, you know, derailing me. So we figure out how to make it as good as we can with whatever stacks of other things like the glasses that I mentioned, or I do them before bed, you know, and then crash out and go to sleep. My original business name when I was working in New York was Physical Mantra, because I kind of thought about these drills as like a mantra that you would do throughout the day, or before, you know, when you needed to ground or get centered. And, so that's that piece of it. Does that make sense the way I explained that? Okay. Yeah. So that's it. And the cool thing is, like, this brain is always changing, right? Neuroplasticity is just how the brain functions. So once you do a drill for a while, it becomes neutral at some point. Like, your brain just starts to get good at it, bored with it, and you need a new one. If that doesn't define human nature, I don't know what does. So then there's sort of this global piece, and the way I think about it, and it's certainly something I'm trying to cultivate in my own life, and like, it's integrated into my life. The pieces of how the brain functions, am I paying attention to those three pieces? So one is sensory input. Am I getting stimulation through all of my senses? Am I paying attention to what I'm smelling? Am I you know, enjoying sensual things on my skin? Am I smelling delicious things and, you know, really spending time with that? Am I listening to music? Am I, yeah, moving my body in space in interesting ways? So that's sort of the sensory piece of it. And then the second part is, yeah, the processing piece. And there are specific drills that I do for, like, the cerebellum, which is where it's in control of accuracy, balance, and control, the ABCs, we kind of think about it. So you can do things to sort of stimulate the cerebellum and make sure that's functioning as well as you'd like. And there's things like that for multiple parts of the brain. So just kind of having that in the back of my brain as I'm moving through my life and going, yeah, okay, that was useful. Cool. I'm working on the processing part of my brain. And then the ultimate goal of all of it is to move, motor output. Like, you want to respond to these things. And so, you know, in training, we talk about the proprioceptive system of, like, well, you know, specifically, can you move all of your joints through every range of motion at every speed? Because the brain's really specific. And so, like, you know, the novelty piece of it is important, but also, like, it's really interesting to me. Like, the brain, the way I think about it is, like, the brain knows what optimal is. And if you're not functioning optimally, it's actually threatening. And so anytime you can come in and clean up a blurry movement map, or maybe I do this thing, maybe I move really well, but only slowly, you know, can I speed it up and challenge my brain? And any piece of that new information makes the brain feel safer and then more able to do whatever it is I ask it to do. I think about it as, like, yeah, so I use a threat bucket analogy, and, like, your threat bucket can only hold so much, you know, and life dumps all the stuff into the threat bucket anyway. But if I've got deficits in my nervous system and I walk out into the world, my threat bucket may be almost full already, and my capacity to handle the things in my life are pretty slim, without tipping over into some kind of pain. And so, yeah, if I can come in and kind of empty that bucket out on a regular basis, by kind of cleaning up my nervous system, it just increases my capacity to show up for life and the things that matter to me more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, as you're saying this, I'm just thinking about, like, trauma, mm-hmm. you know, people going through maybe grief, going mm-hmm. through hardship, right? That's all in totally. Our nervous system. And so part of your work is releasing that. Or,
yeah. And I'm not trained in processing people's emotions. Like, it's, uh-huh. I think that, you know, I'm a big fan of therapy, and, like, being able to talk through it is, I think, incredibly useful in its own way. But as long as it's safe for the person that's moving through it, we don't actually have to talk about any of it. That's mm-hmm. the coolest part, is, like, we can just address your nervous system. I like to think I create a container for my clients where anything is welcome, and if talking about it is what is needed, then great, bring it in. But we're always going to tie it back to the physical body and movement. And so, yeah, it's trauma is such a full-bodied experience, and I think that is, again, one of the key takeaways for me in this chapter of my life is, like, I wouldn't have told you I had chronic pain prior to this, but my life was chronically painful. And, like, when I think about it, I felt that physically. Like, it was physical pain. It just wasn't, like, a 10 alarm, like, hip pain. Right. It was just this, yeah, but I felt it in my shoulders, and I felt it in my neck, and I felt it in my breathing. I couldn't breathe right. I'm a singer, and I couldn't breathe right. And so the nervous system is a two-way street. These things come in and they impact the nervous system, and, you know, you get these hormonal cascades, and it literally impacts everything. But if we come in and we address breathing, if we come in and address movement, oftentimes we can start to shift things from the other side, and somewhere in the middle is a connection.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense to me, because it's like, yeah, you're dealing with maybe other stuff, but having the supportive, stronger system that mm-hmm. you help people work on just helps you in that other area to process or
totally
move through it. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So interesting.
It's really, really cool. It's one of these things when I met that first trainer in New York, she was like, "You're going to be a Z Health teacher." And I was like, honestly, the words that came into my head were "fuck you." I just want to perform, but I fell in love with it, and it's just so cool. Yeah. And to be able to help my friends and family when they're in pain, and there is something about just the freedom for me in knowing. I mean, one of the cool things for me at this point that's happened is I know I can get myself out of pain. And so the courage I now have to go try new things or do new things, I'm willing to play more. I'm willing to kind of reach out and do it more. And I've had to put myself back together a few times, but it's okay. I got to experience that really cool thing I wouldn't have been able to experience otherwise. So
yeah, I love that. Can you tell us what that transition looked like? Are you continuing to audition and perform, or is that
part of your life? I mean, I had my baby in 2018, and I at that point was not sure what to do with all of this, and so it was sort of a welcome break to kind of go. No one ever should ever go into motherhood thinking it's a welcome break, but I did. because it gave me a chance to just sort of synthesize some of it. And honestly, my postpartum, I had an amazing pregnancy, and there's no parallel universes for me to compare, what would have happened without the tools that I have. But I know that the tools I had made a difference in pregnancy and in birth and in postpartum. And no one really told me that the hardest part of motherhood or the birthing process in particular is that there's no time for you to rehab after you have a baby. Your body doesn't matter anymore. But because I understood the tools at the level that I did, I was able to really integrate it into that early phase and combine it with my daughter. And that was super cool. Did this one workshop. I did another workshop of the Neurology of Presence here in San Francisco in 2019, the end of 2019, and then obviously the world shut down. And I didn't want to do that one virtually. I mean, I feel like I'm looking at someone's essence, and I just didn't want to. And at this point, the pandemic forced me to rethink things, and I now work with clients virtually, and it works, which is so cool to me. I think I could do that again. And I think that's where my passion probably does lie. Performing for myself, at this point, I mean, one of the gifts of the pandemic was there's a church here I sing for, and I had sung for 15 years prior to New York. And they were shut down, but they would bring me in and I could record. So I was singing all through the pandemic, which was amazing. And that was fantastic. And quite honestly, lately, my performance has all been on Instagram. It's wait a second, I have to do reels? Oh, shoot, you need me to be in front of a camera and creative? Okay. When I was in New York, we started a YouTube series called Quite Humorous, as in the funny bone, arm bone. And it was an anatomy show, but my friend would teach you how to draw the muscle, and then we would find the muscle on the body and really show emotion, how it moved and what it did. And then I would sing a song that I had made up about the muscle and its function, with the idea that if you sing it and it gets stuck in your head, you'll never forget the functions of that muscle. And I had so much fun doing that, and I edited it all and was able to do all of that, and I think I found my sweet spot, this infotainment land, right, where I can actually use my creative gifts, not in the way I thought that I wanted to do. And the biggest thing for me in New York was oh my gosh, I'm getting so good at this and no one cares. Because there's 100 people that look like me and are just as talented. So what do I do? And it's it was so freeing, you know, to just kind of create my own work. I wrote a few songs and I made my own music video, and like that was so rewarding. Like, might be the thing I'm the most proud of artistically, you know. And then yeah, now it's kind of like, okay, this work is, it's very sciencey and extremely technical, and you know, I can understand it when I read it, and I think I'm getting better at explaining it to people. But if I can do it in a way that's entertaining, then there's a chance that they might actually get it sooner. Put it in a language that we all understand, and maybe it might be a little more useful than like going into all the neural anatomy. And
certain people eyes are glazing over.
Come back. Exactly.
It
has been really cool. I have a couple of kids I work with, and you know, they don't know, but one of them, I've been working with her for a couple years, and she actually taught her sister how to do eye drills. And like, she comes in, she goes, I found a target in the left side of the car when I was riding the other day, and I stared at it and I kept my head still while I was doing it. And I was like, I have one. I am complete. this is so amazing. And yeah, for finding ways to make it salient, you know, like, because I have a class I'm developing called How to Have a Body. And I think because I want everyone to have access to this information. And Z Health is phenomenal, but they are geared for elite trainers. And so, unless you really want to go learn the science behind all of it. If you want to go learn the science behind it, you need to go take those classes. Like, it's, you just, why not learn from the best? He's amazing. But yeah, for someone that just wants to feel better, like, they don't care.
Tell me what to do.
You want me to lick a battery? You got it. Like I said, almost completely non-invasive.
I love that you share that, because like, as creatives, our journey evolves and changes and usually isn't looking like what we thought it would be. And so to get curious, you know, and to stay curious, like, what would that look like? Oh, okay. And then you find more of your sweet spot.
Yeah.
And I love that you have found yours, you know, yeah. And you're building that out and you're leaning into it more of like, how can I bring this to regular people to be in more touch with their body, to move into more of what they want to do and how they want to show up better for themselves and everybody else around them. And so kudos.
Yeah, no, it feels, that. Thank you. Yeah, it feels really, really, really good. You know, it's being an artist is not easy. And it's at least trying to do it within the box that we're given. And, you know, it's very exhausting and extremely depressing. So, and I got into this because I love it, you know, so into performing because I love it. That was the whole point. it's interesting. I have a VA who's fresh out of college and drama school, and like he actually was taught something I never heard, and I didn't go to school for this, you know, at a university level, but like how can you use these skills to make the world a better place? You know, how else can you use this to serve, you know? And like, yeah, I mean, I got that concept, but I thought the only way I could apply it was by being on a stage. And that's only one way, you know? It's not that isn't valid, but it isn't the only way. And yeah, I mean, it did not see neurology on the path.
Where did that come from? Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Sure. But I am and it's interesting. I mean, as I said this to somebody the other day, like as I kind of refine this message, or as I'm doing these reels and kind of bringing my essence to this, there is this way that I'm finding the message that only I can give, you know? It's similar to other people's. It's based on someone else's technology and information, but it's through my lens and through my experiences. And And I can bring whatever I want to it. You know, extremely freeing and extremely validating, you know. There's no parts of myself that aren't welcome at the table anymore. And that feels really good.
Yeah. And that's really beautiful, because I think we are taught this thing. At least I'm older, you know, so it's like there's one way to perform. There's only the Broadway, you know, stage to show up and be seen. But now we're finding there's so many ways to put your gifts and talents and skills and experience out in the world. And so accepting all parts of us, that it is what other people need.
I know.
Right? Yep. Like the experiences, we're not the only ones out here, you know? And so just sharing those harder parts of our lives for those touchstones, so people don't feel so alone. And like, I struggled with that out as well. And this is what I did to help me. Try it. See if it works for you, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah, it's like we were taught to just put the most polished part of ourselves out there. And that's, wow. I mean, like, to think that my challenges and all of those struggles that I went through actually could be the thing that is the gift that I share. Like, okay, then maybe it was worth going through them. Why not spin straw into gold? Okay.
Yeah. What other things have you learned? Because, you know, like you just shared, all parts of me can be welcome at the table. What other like inner workings have you just like really found in your heart to be true for this next season that you're stepping into?
That's so interesting. I have emotion around your question and like very few thoughts. I think, as I'm moving into, so for me, what I see as sort of this next chapter is like, I've been doing a lot. I mean, I've been one-on-one coaching for almost a decade at this point in time. And I know I'm an effective coach, and I'm so honored to get to do that. And I also know that my work is with groups. And so, you know, developing the courses, deciding the curriculum for those courses, getting it set up, and then getting it communicated in a way that speaks to people. And you know, it brings up just as much performance anxiety as stepping into an audition, you know, like it's, and every time I kind of, and yet here we are in this conversation, you know, when I'm talking about it, I am present in my body. I don't feel like I've lurched out, you know, like, so I know I'm ready. And even if I do lurch out, like, can I use that as a moment to be like, oh, here we go. This is clearly my threat bucket is full. Give me 1 minute. I must cross my eyes. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, I think it's this, you know, I haven't said this out loud yet. So thank you for the opportunity. But like, it is my time to be on stage. It is my time. It's just not the stage I thought it was going to be. And it might be for audiences on computers. At some point I want a live space that people come to and that totally, you know, embodies the arts and connects it to the body, but this is great for now. I mean, I'm talking to you in Bangkok, and I have clients in Switzerland and Mexico, and like, that's amazing. I think it's allowing the performer her chance. While I share this information.
Yeah, I like that. I like that connection, because like, nothing's wasted, right? And I knew that from being an educator. I was like, there's always room to educate people or, you know, share what I've learned to, you know, to help them and stuff. So I like that performance piece.
In yeah.
Really touches. Yeah, that's amazing.
And I went to the theater today and I watched quite possibly the most profound performance I have ever seen in musical theater. This woman, I talk about presence in performing, like, I have never seen presence like this before. If you get a chance to see Goddess, pretty sure it's coming to New York and everywhere else around it afterwards, because this is like the best show I've ever seen. It should happen.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. My mom took me to see it, and we were leaving, and she's like, wow, are you jealous? And I was like, yeah, I am, but also not. But there was, you know, So for me, there is a chapter coming down the road where I will go back and like put it back on, you know, the literal stage, and like I'm excited about that, but it doesn't have to happen today. And it probably is going to look a lot different. You know, it's not going to be goal oriented, which it never should have been to begin with.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, we only learn that looking back, right? Like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, that's amazing.
Well, yeah.
Getting fed by other people's performances. That's pretty.
Oh my gosh. It was amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I have enjoyed this conversation, learned a lot. And thank you for sharing it all.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, if people wanted to get in touch with you, how can they find you? And you said you like to hang out on Instagram now. Anywhere else?
Instagram for sure. Trying to share nuggets on a regular basis, hopefully in an entertaining way. I have a weekly newsletter where I pontificate on some of these subjects a bit longer. So, and my website is, you can sign up for that on my website, which is neurologyofpresence.com. And there's a subscribe link there. And then, yeah, if it looks interesting, like I offer free sessions so you can come try it on, because it's, again, I can talk about this till the cows come home, but like you have to kind of experience it for it to really click and go, oh, wait, my arm just flew past my head and I've only had it near my nose for the last decade. Like, you know, that there's a, so those are free Explorer sessions and you can sign up for one of those on the website as well. And then, yeah, stay tuned because there's classes coming.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff. And, you know, let me know when that stuff comes out. I can share it with my community.
Oh, that'd be great.
Stuff like that. So, yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate
it. This was so much fun.
I can't thank you enough for listening to these podcast episodes and supporting the work that I'm doing here. If you can think of anybody that could benefit from the conversation I just had, please go ahead and forward that to them. If you are on Apple Podcasts, a review would be much appreciated, or a follow on Spotify is how I can continue to get the word out about the work that I'm doing here. If you would like more support and encouragement throughout your week, you can find me on Instagram at A Creative Purpose. And I would also like to drop into your email box with some more insights and encouragement throughout your weeks. And you can do that at naomigeidel.com. Until next time, go serve the world as only you can.